Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 40. I am your host, Ben Hagendorn.
I'm Jason Jones.
And today we have a guest star on the show, Mike Edsett.
Wow, it feels like I've done this before.
You're a star.
That's a... Yeah. Anyway, so Mike's a friend of ours, and he's come on today because we're going to once again discuss PC versus console gaming, since the three of us have the range of views on the subject, so it should be a good time. And our second topic is going to be the decline of AMD/ATI. Once they're competitive, but Intel's kind of handing them their ass these days. What gives? And also, as our third topic, we may discuss llamas and placentas, but we're not sure.
Yes, as they relate to possums.
Yes. Oh, yes. Possumus man, right. Okay. Let's start with games we've been playing lately. Jones, you want to start?
Yeah, I've just played a little bit of Rock Band recently, and like usual, to pass the time, and I downloaded one of those songs that came out yesterday, I guess, Paramore's the band, or whatever, and that was fairly entertaining. It's only $1, so what the hell. And then I played a little bit of the Lego Star Wars Complete Saga last night as well, so.
Cool. How about you, Mike?
Yes, I played some Call of Duty.
One?
Oh, no, number four.
Good.
And, and some Oblivion.
Well met. I, too, have been mostly playing Call of Duty 4. And bits of Rock Band. Mostly Call of Duty 4. I've really come around on it. The multiplayer is a lot of fun. Yes.
Well met.
And a couple times I've fought Mike in it, and sometimes I can kill him.
Yeah, you suck.
Die!
Pub star.
Okay, has there been any gaming news lately, Jones? I mean, what's the word on the street? You seem to be the go-to guy.
Well, you're going to the wrong well. I guess I just read something a few minutes ago about Harmonix suing Activision for, like, revenue or some crap from Guitar Hero 3.
But they didn't make Guitar Hero 3.
Yes, but apparently they think they're entitled since they did the original Guitar Hero idea or something. But then they pulled their lawsuit, I guess, because apparently Activision and them must have talked and said, hey, you know, we can do this outside of the courts and come to some sort of agreement. So,
right.
So that was going on. And then also, I guess I read yesterday that 2K Games has confirmed that BioShock 2 is in development.
Yes!
And slated for release, like, late 2009, I believe it was.
I'm still Andrew Ryan, even though I'm dead.
Yes, and
well,
there are pretty much
cool.
Yeah, there's pretty much no details on it or anything, like whether it was a prequel or a sequel or anything. But
Mike,
at least they're making it.
Mike, have you heard any new gaming news? I mean, what's the word on the PC gaming street, Holmes?
Frontline Fuels of War came out. That's about all I know about it.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's supposed to be kind of like a cross between like Battlefield and Call of Duty.
Are you going to get it?
Yeah, actually, I probably will, but
I saw
a
commercial for it. Does
yeah.
that count?
I guess that counts for something.
I think I saw that's supposed to have like 64-player multiplayer matches. And on the Xbox, it's got 32-player, and it's got, like, dedicated servers and everything. Like, they're not Xbox Live servers.
Oh, really? There's a difference?
I guess. Like, in the ad, it said dedicated Chaos, K-A-O-S, servers. I don't know if Chaos is the company that makes the game or something, maybe.
It's possible.
Actually,
I think it's Chaos Studios.
The commercial I saw for that, okay. You know how most commercials show all the boxes of the games, and it looked like there wasn't a PS3 version. Well, that's right. It was delayed or something, like so many other PS3 games?
I don't know. I just heard it was out.
Okay.
That's all I have to offer there.
So, any other gaming news, Mike?
My team won? I don't know.
No, nobody cares about that.
I have nothing.
Oh, yes, Mike is in a clan. Gaming clan. Yeah. Well, you know, you'll be like, you know, you'll be hanging out at a normal place, like, talking about, oh, yeah, my clan last night, we killed a bunch of people. They'll be like, I hope they're talking about video games.
I came to visit you and Dale, in Verona, and Dale and I are walking around and start talking about our clan.
Yeah, the video game, Claire.
Or, yeah, I think you were talking to me about it. And all these people give us all these funny looks. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're talking about recruitment for the Klan. And everybody in the store, like, came to a, like, just a dead pause.
Well, don't they call them clans in World of Warcraft?
I think pretty much everyone online calls them a clan.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a universal term.
Well, you know, when you say clan, people can't tell if it's spelled with a C or a K. That's the problem.
I think it's spelled the same.
I thought, no, isn't the Ku Klux Klan is...
That's with a K.
Oh, that's, yeah, with a K. Yeah,
I'm just saying, so maybe right, you should, like, say clan, so it's, you know, with a C.
Like, pronounce...
What, yeah, you know, when you're in Quick Trip talking about your gaming clan.
Just call it a C-LAN.
Yes.
That'll make all the sense to everyone.
We're taking our C-LAN to a LAN party.
And then people will probably be like, all right, now. You geeks are out of here.
Because you use a computer.
And I actually was in Mike's clan once at one time. But then I got mad at one of the other members, and I left. That guy was
that
a
was
dickhead.
A long time ago clan.
His name was, what was it, Heavy?
Heavy D.
Heavy, yeah. D, if you're listening to this, you suck. Because remember, I did my usual thing where I jumped in a tank, and he's like, get out of the tank, get out of the tank! This is in Battlefield 2. And I'm like, Heavy, go fuck yourself! And then the whole team was like, you know what, he's right. And then pretty much it fell apart from there. God, he was such a doucher and a half.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, seems like there was some gaming news I was going to bring up, but,
there was probably something.
Oh, Dave Campbell just called me today and said that he bought a, original 60 gig PS3 off eBay and it did not work. It was DOA, like your favorite movie.
Ugh. Was it on an island?
He sent me a text and he's like, can, PS3 get a red ring of death? And I called him back and I'm like, well, no, I don't, because it didn't have a ring of death, but... I suppose it can die, and so, yeah.
Maybe it's a blue ring of death.
So, much like how the Wii can do no wrong, PS3 can break, apparently.
Hmm.
So, that's kind of lame. But I told him to use an eBay dud protection or whatever they've got for purchases, so.
Yes.
Yeah, alright, well, I think that's about it for gaming news. Anything else?
Gaming no.
news, or?
Not for any important systems.
Okay. I think this is going to be the year PS3 really kicks some butt, though.
Oh, yeah.
Its install base is pretty good.
Yeah, it's got a good install base with virtually no games at this point. I mean, it's exclusives of note,
really. But popular
really.
Games like Rock Band or Call of Duty 4 are on it as well.
It's just, yeah, the exclusives is what I mean, so.
Oh, well, Metal Gear
but
Solid. Even
it's
that's
got
only
those
a timed exclusive.
Coming, so.
So we'll see.
Are you sure it's a timed exclusive?
I'm pretty sure it is. It isn't?
They haven't said so yet. They keep coming out every so often saying, no, it's only going to be on the PS3. But
well, I heard that they had trouble fitting it in 50 gigs of Blu-ray disc.
Wow. Well, yeah, it probably will only be on the PS3 then.
Well, I've heard it's one of the most expensive games ever made. They spent a lot of money on it, so well, all those assets probably fill up space. So.
Yeah, it's been in development forever, so.
Or 4 years, whichever comes first.
Yeah, it's almost as long as Port Washington.
Okay, well, shall we move on to our first topic, PCs versus console gaming?
Sure. Or are we going to talk about llamas and placentas?
Well, that's the fallback.
That's the fallback.
Well, Jody was talking to that llama lady today.
Yeah.
And I went over there and, you know, wanted to get those headers, and so I had to start talking to the llama lady. You know, I couldn't just interrupt completely. And she told me that her llama was pregnant, and I almost asked her if I could have the placenta. Now, everyone listening is probably going to think, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's kind of like this inside joke. Like, years and years ago, this person that I know, Jody, she talked about this, like, the birthing video she saw when she was having her first kid. And the video was like, oh, well, you know, when you have your baby, you know, some couples and, you know, some, you know, beliefs may wish to eat the placenta. And she was telling me about this, and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that? Then, of course, good old Tom Cruise comes along.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
Well, I don't know what he said, but there was, you know, all the stuff in the tabloids that him and Katie ate the placenta or something.
Oh, they both ate it?
Yeah, or some crap like that. Like, it was something, you know, Scientology apparently says you eat the placenta. I don't know. But then, supposedly, that all got dismissed as BS, but... Who knows?
Maybe it came out, and he's like, maybe not.
Yeah, he's like, it sounded like a good idea until I saw it.
It's a little rare.
Yeah.
Well, I would assume you'd cook it first, right?
I'd hope. I wouldn't even bother with it. I don't know.
It's like... Well, so
how
anyway,
do you like it? Medium rare or medium well?
The big joke became placentas in general for some reason. So.
Yeah.
But I heard about the llama. We were talking about doing that Alien Hunter movie with the alien baby.
Yeah.
So, of course, a placenta might be involved. So my big thing... I asked my sister, who works at a hospital, I'm like, hey, Cree, can you hook me up with some placentas? And she's like, no, actually, those are considered biohazard waste. And I'm like, but people eat them. So then the new thing was I had to find a backup placenta to use in a movie. So then it was either going to be like a cow placenta or a llama placenta, you know, to switch things up. So yeah, it's just one of those lame inside jokes that, yeah, placentas are funny for some reason. And
yes.
It's always good for a laugh. Well, because we were talking this week about doing a movie this summer just to squirt something out.
Yeah.
And
a placenta may or may not be involved in it.
Right, because once again, all our movies have the same theme, which in this case is babies. People fighting babies.
Evil babies,
either,
yeah.
Either alien babies or possum babies. Well, because we were talking about doing Possumus Man 2. Because Ben's getting that new camera, so it's like, well, we can do our first high-definition, tapeless, you know, very high-technology movie, and it'll be a sequel to Possumus Man. I mean, ironically enough. So, Mike, why don't you tell us about Possumus Man, since it was actually your idea?
Well, you guys are going to like this. It starts out with this beach, and it's covered in some sand, and that's about it. Why don't you take it from there?
That's your idea.
Oh, yeah, that's
Pop
my contribution so far.
I think we might need to flesh that idea out a bit. But, I mean, you were the one who came up with the name Possumus. I still don't know what that means.
Well, nobody actually knows what it means. I think it was supposed to be like something like a spinoff of Posthumus and Possum. I don't know.
Hey, Spamster. All right. Spam, Pam, and Hamster.
Yeah.
Office.
Quality.
Yes.
I don't really know where Michael it came
Scott.
From.
So anyway, we were talking about doing this movie, and it would have... And it's not supposed to be really that good, so we were talking to Ben Kelsch about it, too, to get him on board since we want to use his camera, since it's going to be that nice Panasonic P2 camera. Or it's not called a P2 camera, but it's a solid-state
It's an
one.
HD
Right, because we can shoot slow-mo and stuff. But anyway, we started making this laundry list of what we wanted to have in a movie. We don't care where it fits in the plot. We'll figure that out later. So what we have car going off cliff.
What's flipping another? A car.
Mm-hmm.
Driving a car through a wall.
Throwing someone through a wall.
Yeah, or a window, or both. Driving a car through a wall of flames.
Mm-hmm. A model forest blowing up. And then we put in all this other crap, like Steve Wagner, who was the ex-boyfriend in Port Washington. We'd have him as a Secret Service agent because the president's daughter is at Rustic Resort this time. And with her stoner boyfriend, which I'm sure would be Dave Campbell, another friend of mine. But then Steve is going to try to use a syringe labeled possum DNA to get the possum DNA so he can clone the possum and, quote, dump a bunch in Iraq and the war will be over in a week. So we've all got all these really lame plot ideas for it, so maybe we'll make it. And it'll be in high def, so you can see how bad the costume is, even better than before.
I think isn't the rule of thumb is pretty much if it's bad, it's in.
Right, just put anything we want in it. Oh, and record amounts of gunfire and blood, mostly from the possum.
It's basically a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
Because we're just like throwing crap in we want to see and not really caring about serving the story so much.
Right, but we did talk about making it so his jaw can open this time, so instead of just swatting people to death, you could perhaps bite them.
Gum them.
Yes.
Yeah, gum them to death like an old person.
Oh, I got a paper mache. God.
Exactly. All right, well, why don't we move on to the PC debate or whatever. I don't know how we got sidelined onto that, but who cares?
Well, it's not every day you get to talk about llamas and placentas. So.
And possums.
Yes.
Oh, well, I forgot to say that. So we were talking about having... At the end, a possum baby comes out of the possum. Even though the main possum is dead, we had to fight its baby at the end. And therefore, a placenta may or may not be involved. Now, who knows what a mutant, humanized possum placenta would look like, but that's up to us as a conceptual artist to figure it out. So, moving on.
I'm sure it'll be a treat.
Especially if you're Tom Cruise. Yeah, it was an ad. It said, like, Tom Cruise to eat juicy, nutritious placenta. Because when she was probably squirting out, what was it, Surrey?
Yeah.
He's probably sitting there with, like, a bib on and a fork and a knife. Like, gimme, gimme, gimme! All right, we better get started. Stop it. See, it's fun to talk about
placenta. Boy or a girl, I heard the boys taste gamey.
So Nicole Kidman never gave any placentas.
She's given Keith Urban one, though.
Anyway, I was just thinking about that. Because they never had any kids together, did they? Now they're squirting out kids.
Yeah, now they're both having kids with other people.
Coincidence?
Strange.
Anyway, yes, PC versus console gaming. So we're going to talk about this for a while, and maybe we'll even talk about monitor refresh rates, although that's probably a bad idea.
Die.
Okay, so here's how it stands. Let's just state our own opinions on the subject for the starter, starting with Mike.
My name is Mike, and PC's rule.
And you're recovering. You're recovering,
I'm a recovering
gamer.
PC-aholic.
Jones?
I am a console gamer, as I believe people out there know. But the only time I play a game on the PC is if it's like a sim-type game, like Civilization or, you know, SimCity or whatever. So.
Right, and I like to play my Xbox, but if a game's available for PC, I usually buy it for PC. So I'm kind of torn.
Yeah, you have your feet in both camps, basically.
Yes.
Riding the fence.
It feels good. So, Mike, why don't you start off, since you're the new guy here. Don't worry, everyone. He's probably not going to come back next week, unless he wants to.
Damn it. That's probably good.
Why don't you tell us, in your words, why PC gaming, as you say, rules?
Well, geez, you know, that's kind of like an on-the-spot. You know, well, give me an example. Give me some lead-in on this.
Tell me why you like it. This isn't very difficult.
Well, I just do it. I think it's way better. I mean...
Can you elaborate?
Well, yeah, give me something to work with here.
Why is it better than a console? I mean, you can get Call of Duty 4 on an Xbox or on a computer. Why is the computer
better? Why would I get it on the PC? Well, I think there are way more people playing it on the PC. Would I be off on saying that? I didn't actually look.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I guess, you know, I play from a competitive
standpoint. It's the top game on Xbox Live, though, now.
It's the top game on PC as well, I believe.
So it's probably about equal.
I don't know. Like, when I played, like, the 360 version of Call of Duty 2. And you pop in there, and it's like, every room I went into was like, you know, 5 12-year-olds, because that's all that could fit in the server, by the way, swearing at each other. And that got old for me really fast. I've played with, like, the same people, like, in my clan, you know, for, like, the last 6 years. I'm used to playing with them. I talk to mostly just them. You know, it's a lot more, I don't know what the word is. It's better.
I see your point. I think it's interesting that you didn't even bring up keyboard mouse.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting to come up.
That's a given. Everybody knows that. But then you, of course, would have brought up that the PlayStation 3, which... We spent the first half of the podcast ripping out.
No, we spent most
podcasts.
Can
apparently have one. Okay.
Apparently, that it can have a keyboard and mouse.
If you have you can buy a $600 keyboard and mouse for your PlayStation 3.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, somebody else.
No, those are good points. I mean, the console. I mean, if you are seriously into the gaming, or you know, in a competitive fashion, you know, the computer can do a lot more. Like, you have X-Fire and. Stats and stuff.
Wait, you're warming up to X-Fire now, apparently?
No, I'm not warming up to it, but I see your point, why a person that is competitively gaming would enjoy it. Whereas a console is more just like goofing off.
I mean, honestly, like, you guys were talking earlier today about achievement points. I mean, to me that sounds like, what's an achievement point? I don't even care, but...
Oh, you would.
Maybe there's an equivalent on
PC. They're like crack.
Gaming.
Yeah, they're strangely addictive.
Do you get something for them, or...?
No, they're completely worthless,
that's your gamer score on Xbox.
But...
It'll say, like, Ben Heck, I think my gamer score is, like, 4,000 something.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think...
What does it equate to, though?
Well, it's just, like, if you beat a game, you might get 100 achievement points for that, and it'll, like, And when you look in your record, it'll tell you like what achievement points you've gotten for every game. And it's just for like accomplishing things in games.
Oh.
Like in Oblivion, you get an achievement point every time you rank up in a faction, or every time you, you know, become a new Myrmidon or whatever in the arena.
Like in the Mage's Guild as you go up through it. And like what it... It's kind of neat in a way because it makes you play games differently. Like,
it makes you a completist.
Yeah, like if, like Bioshock, for instance, there's achievements for, you know, finding all the plasmids and all the tonics and all that stuff. And then also there's one for beating the game on hard mode. So it might push you to be like, oh yeah, I'll try beating it on hard. Or there's one for beating the game without dying and stuff like that.
Oh, so you play it more thoroughly then.
Yeah, I mean, you can do all those things without the achievements, but with the achievements there, it kind of reminds you that, oh yeah, I could try playing through it that way, and then, you know, I get this achievement, which is, you know, worthless, but...
And if I get a friend request from someone with, like 700 achievement points, I usually don't even add them. I mean, I usually don't add people anyway, but... Definitely. It's like, well, this person's not that serious.
Yeah, I'm probably not the right person to interview for this then, because I mean, like Call of Duty, I played like the single player for like 1 minute, and that was during the demo. Since I bought it all, I've played multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of lame, too. But
I did the same with Team Fortress.
There's probably people that do that on the Xbox, too. I don't know why. I mean, you can seriously beat that game in 5 hours. Why not just do it? Yeah. But I don't think that really necessarily disqualifies you.
No.
Well, I don't know. Well, I guess I buy games for the multiplayer.
Well, see, that's why I was initially disappointed by Call of Duty 4. I just buy games for the single player, and the multiplayer is a bonus, and the single player in Call of Duty 4 were so freaking short, I'm like, wow, what a ripoff. But then, now that I play it online, I'm like, wow, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So well, it's kind of
That's why I was big on the Battlefield series, because it was just strictly a multiplayer game. That's why I could get
into
it. You know, except for the load times.
Well, I'm
sure
a lot of the work and polish in Call of Duty 4, you know, they knew the multiplayer was a big deal, and they made sure it was good, not some attached afterthought. So, yeah, okay. Jones, why don't you take the console side of it now?
Okay, well, for the console side, like, I've always been more of a console gamer all the way back to Atari and Nintendo and stuff, so it's just kind of what I've grown up on, but the thing I like about it is I can go out and buy this piece of hardware, and I know that when I go to the store and I see a game that says, you know, Xbox 360 on it, I know I can buy it, take it home, pop it in, and play it. I don't have to worry about, do I have, you know, the right video card? Do I have enough memory in my computer? What, you know, all that crap. And I just want to be able to play the damn games. And so that's always been something I really appreciate about console gaming, is just that, you know, you just walk in a store, it says whatever your game system on the game, and you know you can play it.
True.
And, you know, some of the other things, like I remember we talked about this back when Bioshock came out, because we compared and contrasted, because I got the 360 version, you got the PC version. When I got the 360 version, I took it home, popped it in, was able to start playing it immediately. You had to download some patch, you had to activate the game, you had to dink around finding a new video card driver that was made just for the game.
Right.
And all that, so you had to do all this dicking around before you could even play the game, and that stuff just doesn't interest me. It's like I play video games to have fun and not have to be frustrated. And
but in my case, the only reason I bought it for PC, I mean, you know, Circuit City had it on sale. You know, it was $10 cheaper for either system.
Yeah.
And the PC was like $40, but cost wasn't the issue. I mean, it was nice, but that wasn't the issue. But for me, it was mostly keyboard and mouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, same thing with Call of Duty 4. I mean, you know, I have a really nice TV, and it'd be cool to play the game on it, but keyboard and mouse is awesome, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, I can see why for, you know, you that's important and all that. Like, for me, I never really played FPS games on the computer, so it doesn't hold any weight for me. I don't have any problems using a controller or whatever for it, and that's just kind of how I've always been, so I don't mind that stuff, and... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess those are probably the big things. Like, to me, PC gaming's more of a hassle than anything, or, you know, you have to upgrade your video card every year or two if you want to get the latest and greatest
games.
Yeah,
we should talk about cost, definitely, because I think that's where those will get a little bit more violent, because I think it's been disappointingly civil so far.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to win this side of the debate.
I don't know how you're going to win that side of the debate. I think, why don't we just get right into that then? Anything else, Jones?
I don't know. Maybe it just seems like there's a bit more variety. Well, no, I guess PC gaming has a lot of variety because you can get all your, you know, puzzle games and crap on the computer too, and that sort of stuff.
Okay. Well,
so yeah.
As a pro console gamer, do you think consoles are ever, you know, sideline PCs? Do you think PC gaming is going to go away?
I think they'll both retain their niche. You know,
right.
I mean, there's obviously the people out there with PC gaming that, you know, they're just hardcore PC gaming. That's what they've always done. That's what they're always going to do.
Right.
And then there's, you know, people like me that are the console side that, you know, I'm not going to go out and get a computer or anything and, you know, start playing games on it tomorrow. And
well, here's something that I think is a very relevant point. And Mike, I don't think you'll even be able to disagree with this, but up until this current generation, PC gaming was always ahead of computers. You know, like when Medal of Honor Allied Assault came out, you know, they had a version of it on the PlayStation 2, but it wasn't nearly as good.
Oh, yeah, it looked like crap compared to
right.
I remember, because you were excited about the PC version.
Right. Unfortunately, I bought that game and I lent it to you, and that's what got you hooked on all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I saw you playing the PS2 version. I'm like, what are you doing with this crap? I'm like, here, I'll lend you Allied Assault. That was like,
I remember
that was 6 years ago.
Yeah, you could fight your way all the way through the game by, like, approaching a guy just to the limit of his draw distance so you could shoot him.
Right, right. But, I mean, yeah, consoles had always been behind PCs quite a bit. But with this generation, a game comes out for modern consoles and modern computers at the same time. I mean, it's the first time that's ever happened. I think that's quite significant.
Yeah, plus the differences between them are pretty minuscule. Like, I remember when we both got BioShock and you came over to the house, you know, expecting to see, you know, a lot of difference between the PC version and the 360 version on the HD set. And I remember when you got over there, you're like scrutinizing it and you're like, yeah, it pretty much looks the same.
Right.
You know, it's not like before where PCs were just, you know, way superior graphically.
Yeah,
and everything
if anything,
else.
Maybe you could run it at a higher resolution on a computer, but
yeah.
Cause I think, you know how the Xbox allegedly only internally renders 720p?
Yeah.
I think a lot of games you can tell that it's upscaled. I think Rock Band, it's pretty obvious.
Halo
is pretty
3,
obvious.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to sue Bungie like some people suggested. But but then, I mean, if you want to take a game like BioShock and run it full graphics, full resolution, I mean, you're probably going to have a video card that costs $400 at least, and that's stupid, too. So why don't we move on to that aspect where we talk about the cost difference?
Well, before you get into that, that's not necessarily... I mean, you remember, like, Oblivion, for example. You've played it on the Xbox 360, and you've seen it on the PC, and you can see a lot more detail on the PC version.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That game is different. But most other games I've seen, it hasn't been a whole lot, but Call of Duty 4 looks the same.
And I know, like, Portal looked pretty close. You said that it had
Portal,
a little more detail on the PC.
Well, the
but
PC
it was pretty...
actually ran it at, you know, 1920 by 1200.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, all those Orange Box games, I can actually run those all the way up full resolution because I think that engine's
a little
softer
engine,
than,
yeah.
like, other engines, but... Well, yeah, I could definitely see the upscaling, especially, like, you know, the portal gun that you're holding. You can definitely see the jaggies.
Yeah.
But a negligible difference.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Oblivion is definitely one that can look better on the computer. But, that almost seems like a kind of a PC-first game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That they put on the Xbox.
Well, it had always been a PC game, all the Elder Scrolls, hadn't it?
Yeah,
up until this one.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
well, Morrowind was on Xbox.
Oh, was it?
Oh. Yeah.
I was not. I'm not familiar with that.
Well, yeah, why don't we talk about cost then, since I think that's probably the biggest factor, actually. Well, I guess the big thing is, you know, you can go, I mean, now that it has a wireless controller and a memory card, you can go buy a $280 Xbox Core, and you can run Call of Duty 4 on it.
Yep.
Right out of the box. Now, if
so
anyone
280
tells me,
your figure?
What?
So 280 is your figure?
Well, that's the cheapest Xbox, and it comes with a memory card, so yeah, 280.
Okay.
So, could you play Call of Duty 4 on a $280 computer?
Well, the thing is, everybody has a computer anyway. All you need is a video card. That's my thing. I mean, look at...
What's the minimum CPU spec on Call of Duty 4?
Oh, God, it's low. Actually, The box is right here. Let's find out.
Let's compare them.
We're getting hard data here. Look out.
We have the box.
Mike is fumbling with the box as we speak.
Okay, blah, blah, blah. Minimum system requirements.
Read faster.
9.0 CF. Oh, 128 meg video card. It actually doesn't even say what the processor should be.
A lot of games say Pentium.
Oh, wait, hold on. We need an Intel Pentium 4 here.
Oh.
Oh, a 2.4 gigahertz or an AMD 2800 will run this.
Is that recommended or?
That's. It just says requirements.
So, like, my computer that I've got at home would not be able to run that game.
But it is a little older.
It's a little older, but I mean, it does everything I need a computer to do at home.
Right.
You know, if you're using the argument that everybody's got a computer in their home, it's like, well, my computer does everything else I need it to. Why should I have to? Because if I wanted to play Call of Duty 4 on my computer, I'd have to run out and buy a new computer.
Oh,
you would need a new processor and a new video card.
Yeah, so I mean, I might as well just buy a new computer pretty much at that point.
And like, what about all these like smucks with like 64 megs of shared video memory?
Well, they suck. I mean, can I say that? Honestly, if you buy like an off-the-shelf like HP piece of crap, I mean, yeah, you probably just need to get an Xbox 360.
Well, that's, I would agree with that.
I mean, yeah. You got so much bloatware on there, you probably can't fit the game on anyway. So, you know, and you're probably on AOL dial-ups.
Well, I mean, okay, like you're going to build a new computer soon. How much are you planning to spend on your video card?
On the video card, I'll probably spend no more than $350 on it, and that'd be shooting high.
So, how do you justify that? Since that's the cost of a nice Xbox, how do you justify that just for the video card? I mean, the whole computer's going to be like $1,000.
And, yeah, I'm thinking probably around $1,000 for it.
I mean, I know you do other things with it, but...
mainly use it for gaming, though, right?
Right, I was going to say...
Yeah, it'll be mainly for gaming. Well, I want a fast computer just because I like fast computers.
Well, who doesn't?
But yeah, well, the thing is, people always Apple. Say, you're going to spend $1,000...
High five!
Yes!
Oh, by the way, this is a little bit unrelated, but let's get back to this here. I just noticed on this box there.
Okay.
If you play Call of Duty 4... on Windows XP, it only requires 512, but if you play it on Windows Vista, it takes 768.
Oh, so a lot of games
You can
say
come
that.
Back to that.
Uh-huh.
Because of all
Speaking
the
of bloatware.
Bloat.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yes. There you go. No. We just ripped on Apple and Windows Vista within 30 seconds of each other, so
nice.
Don't send me any hate mail.
Yeah.
Or
there's the fence
or do.
I don't care. I probably won't read it anyway.
Well, something to consider is, like, when people say, I'm going to build a new PC, I think a lot of people get the impression that means you're going to, like, just throw your old computer out and buy everything new again, which is not the case. Whereas, you know, you can recycle your DVD-ROM, a lot of times your memory, your case, your power supply, a lot of the stuff you can recycle. So a lot of times building a new PC might mean you get a new motherboard, a new processor, you know.
Well, that's true. That last
card.
Computer I had, I mean, I had it for about 5 years, which is a long time, but by the time it was done, there was probably only, like, the only thing that was original was one of the memory sticks, and I think the video capture card. Everything else had been replaced. And I think I upgraded it once to like play Battlefield 2 was one of the games. So, I see your point. I guess, you know, okay, well, how about we talk about it this way? Like, the cost of a normal computer, the cost of upgrading it so it can play games well, how does that compare to the cost of just buying an Xbox?
You know, I'm at a loss because, I mean, my brother has, like, his 360, and he's still on his first one, so that seems pretty economical to me. You know, well, actually, he's a bad example because he buys every game system out there. And
for no
doesn't matter,
them,
yeah.
So. I don't know. I guess the way I look at it...
I guess
I'm
for
gonna,
me, it's keyboard and mouse. That's my main motivation.
See, I was figuring, I mean, I have a PC anyway, so why would I need a 360 is the way I look at it.
Well, what about...
I mean, I'm not going to, like, stop buying PCs and just buy an Xbox 360 to check my email on, you know. I guess I'm going to have one, so why not make it a little better and play games on it, too?
Yeah.
That's a good point. We haven't argued nearly
I
enough.
Guess that's
I'm
the,
disappointed.
That's
one of the things I do like about console gaming more than PCs, which is maybe why I usually play simulation games on the PC, is just because if I'm sitting at a desk, it just doesn't feel right to play games.
Oh, why don't we talk about that? Because Mike keeps talking about the
I'm on the other side of this. I mean... I love sitting at a desk. You know, I could have previously put my ashtray there. I can pile up my beer cans on my desk. Honestly, like, if I'm sitting at my desk, I feel like I'm doing something. Like when I'm sitting on the couch, I feel like I'm wasting time. I'm like,
well,
I'm
maybe
being
you feel
lazy.
Like you're relaxing. Yeah. You know what games are meant for?
That's what I like. I like to be able to just kick back on the couch and chill out and whatever. You know, that's.
I always just put my beer between my legs.
Nice.
It keeps your junk from overheating.
See.
So, let me get this right. You've got a junk cooler when you're playing games.
I just said
wow.
that. Wow. It's near aerospace quality.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I will admit that the consoles, they are right up there with the PC. I mean, well, one thing I think you'd have to concede is that every console is basically just a PC without Internet Explorer now.
Well,
essentially, I mean, it's...
Two of them are.
Well, yeah, two. Well, one, I guess one is...
One's like a
even...
5 or 6 year old computer.
Yeah,
and then
it's,
the
like
other...
a, it's like a stopwatch.
Yeah, and then the other two are...
Well, I was just going to say, okay, Mike, I mean, something like Rock Band, there's no comparison. You'd have to agree with that, right?
Well, that comes down to the screen size. If you had, if everybody had,
well,
you know, a 60-inch
monitor...
Well,
it comes down to where the PC
monitor.
Is, too. I mean, you're not going to put everyone in your desk office room or whatever it's called to play Rock Band.
Well, no, of course not.
Well, we could say for like, you know, like social stuff, like playing Rock Band, obviously a console is better. I mean, obviously a computer could do it, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. I could drag my computer out. Well, actually, they're talking about that Guitar Rising game. Well, apparently that's only going to be available on PC to begin with.
Wouldn't you feel like a tool sitting in your desk chair in front of your computer with a guitar? I mean, shouldn't you just, like, slit your wrist if it comes to that?
I don't know. Is that much different than sitting in your living room playing one?
Well, that's true.
Well, you're not cool unless you throw it in the air or something. Is that what you're getting at?
Nobody knows what we're talking about there.
Okay. Well, they will.
They will.
There will be blood.
When cool gets down to you wherever you are.
Yeah, you will know.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, like, with, another thing with PC gaming is, like, the social gaming aspect, again, is, you know, like, games where they're multiplayer local. You know, for instance, like, let's say you have your buddy over and you want to play Halo 3 co-op or something like that. You can both sit down and play it, where the PC is generally a very local single-player.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Perspective.
We PC gamers, we want our whole screen.
You know, we haven't even talked about World of Warcraft, which is, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the PC world.
I don't actually have to defend that just because I like PCs, do I?
No, I'm just saying, but you know, none of us have
played it,
so it's like we're missing a whole section of, like, the world, you know? 10 million lost souls.
That's the not cool section.
But, you know, that's kind of an aspect, too, you know, where it's, you lose that, you know, like, you were kind of getting at that with, like, Rock Band and stuff, but, you know, a lot of those games where you have the local co-op, it just doesn't exist on the PC, basically.
That's true.
So that's another factor.
Remember our New Year's party? I mean, how would we have done that with a PC?
Well, you wouldn't have. I mean, it serves two
different... Well, that's why you need a console.
It totally serves two different purposes. I guess, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying there's no room for a console. You know, obviously, maybe the living room is the console, you know...
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to be, like, social, like, in the same building, I guess that's a good thing to have as your console.
This has been way too civil. I am disappointed. I expected blood.
Or milkshakes, at least.
I'd have to charge.
I suppose, like, on the PC, you could probably make the argument that, like, your peripheral costs are lower. Because basically the PC, you have your keyboard and mouse, which you got to have anyway. And then you have your headset. That's about it.
I'll disagree a little bit with you, which actually I know actually lends to your argument, the consoles.
Okay.
But, like, the average, I mean, these headsets, you know, they break left and right when you're on the computer. And, like, this is a gaming mouse, and it costs, like, an arm and a leg.
Oh, okay.
And that's not a gaming keyboard, so it doesn't matter. But a lot of people will dump, like, $100 into a gaming keyboard,
which
just has a few extra buttons, and they're, like, programmable macros and that kind
of
crap.
So you could easily spend, like, $200-$250 on
your
headset
the stuff you buy no matter what is going to be cheaper than, like, Xbox peripherals, because those all have, like, costs added to them. you know.
But like with the Xbox, you know, like I was thinking, you know, you just have your keyboard and mouse and you get some headset, and I was thinking it wasn't going to be that kind of money, I guess.
Well, it doesn't have to be that kind of money, but you can choose to make it that kind of money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go to Walmart, you know, and like buy a $10, you know, Trend keyboard Micro and mouse and play with it if you wanted to, but, you know, it'd suck.
Well, I was going to say, we probably need to move on to our second topic here pretty quickly.
Oh, but this is so much fun.
Well, I know it is, but I don't like having these 3-hour-long Heaven's Gate-length podcasts like you and Dale do.
Ugh.
Did you ever see that
about
movie?
That earlier in the
no,
week?
Never seen that.
It's not very good. Kind of like Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Just because something is put upon, that doesn't mean necessarily that it's good in spite of itself for that reason. Yes, that's right. I just said Idiocracy sucked. I don't care.
Oh, you know what? Before we get into that last thing, what about, you know, there is the whole PC, like the tweakability, the modding, the downloading. You can make own maps, all that kind of stuff.
Right, but on the same token, that goes to the complexity of installing things. You know, it's like a double-edged sword.
But like you were talking about, like with Oblivion, there's like a bunch of
mods. I mean, there are more mods actually, like gigs of mods, and the game actually is installed. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, you can literally turn it into anything.
Which opens it up a lot. And that was one thing I heard with Unreal Tournament 3 on the PS3. That's one of the reasons why it's not on the 360 yet, is because Microsoft hasn't made a way for the 360 to allow like user-created content yet, where I guess the PS3 version supports some form of user-created content. I'm not super familiar with the game, but it sounds like it's kind of more like the PC world, where you know people
like
can customize maps or you know do different stuff like that.
PS3 is a lot more open than the Xbox.
Yeah,
they would just have public servers that people could like upload their mods to, and other people could download.
Yeah, maybe
them
something.
Maybe
like
it's even
that.
Maps.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is it's like with maps and stuff. But
one thing I wanted to finalize with the comparison is that sometimes you'll see a cost comparison between PC and console gaming, and the PC would be like, you know, $1,000 or whatever it would cost. And then for the console, they have the cost of the console, and then to make it seem similar, they'll add on every conceivable thing you might buy for
like
the console.
Like a TV and stuff, probably.
Yeah.
And
I tried to, like, yeah, use that argument against you yesterday.
Well, but it's so stupid, because it'll be, okay, so 3 years of Xbox Live, and a wireless controller, and the Bluetooth headset, and all this shit that, you know, every possible thing you might possibly buy for the Xbox, just to get its cost near that of a PC. That's some real fuzzy government kind of money logic there. So, I think that's kind of rubbish. I mean, I think the console, I mean, you'd agree, it's cheaper, right? We all agree.
Oh, yeah, overall. Well, but in fairness, you can't say a PC costs $1,000 to game on, because you already bought a $1,000 PC. It's just the video card is really... I mean,
that's true.
You
but
can
a video
get your gaming sound
expensive.
Card and all that kind of crap, too, if you wanted to, you know. But you don't need a $1,000 PC to play a video game.
Well, even I didn't buy a very good video card, but it's adequate, and it was like $200. And even that was like the most I ever spent on a video card. Like back when I got the first Call of Duty, I had like a 16-meg card or something really lame like that. And Call of Duty was the first game, so I was like, oh, I can't play this. But I went to Walmart, I bought a $100 card, and bam, I could play it. And that same card ran Far Cry just fine. So, which makes you wonder what Crysis' problem is.
You know, I think there's a lot of hype around Crysis. I mean, because, you know, our good friend Lee had that, it was an ATI 1900 video card. It came out like 2 years ago, possibly, and he could play Crysis on that. It's not like it took like a brand new card to play it. A lot of it was what else you'd put into your computer.
Yeah. I tried it on my computer. It did not run very well. I mean, not at any kind of settings that looked good. I mean, to make it run well, you had to turn it down to the point where it's like, what's the big deal with the graphics?
Well, you know, it might be a good way to put it is like, if 2 years ago you bought a really good card, it'll still play Crysis today. Whereas if you bought a middle of the road card today, it might not play Crysis, even though it's brand new.
But I think a game, you know, games like the Orange Box or Half Life or Call of Duty show that if you don't try to push all the boundaries with graphics, you just make something that looks really good. And everyone can play, well, then that's how you sell 8 million units.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I think there's already talk of Crysis coming to, like, the 360 and stuff in some form, because...
Or PS3.
Yeah, because it didn't sell nearly as well as they had hoped, because, of course, they made it so, you know, people had to buy new video cards and whatever else to be able to even play it.
Yeah,
all
three crazy supercomputer owners bought it.
Maybe we should close with, like, me and Mike maybe talking about things we... like about like what I would like about console or PC gaming, what he likes about console gaming. If
oh,
there
that
is
sounds
anything,
good. Yeah, do that
maybe,
for a few minutes and
or whatever.
We'll wrap up with the AMD thing.
I guess like with me with PC gaming, the thing I like about it, like I mentioned before, is like kind of more the simulation game playing, and I don't know. It, I guess it kind of ties to, like, I look at playing PC games as more of a laid-back experience, like where if I want to sit down and, like, play Civilization or something for, like, 5 hours, you know, I can kick back, get a soda out, you know, get some popcorn, whatever, or, you know, chips, and just sit there and take my time at it. Like, it's where I'm not really into something or whatever, you know, and strategy type stuff and more cerebral gaming, I guess. And like with, like they've made some real-time strategy games and stuff for the 360, and I've played them, and they work all right, but it just doesn't feel right playing those games on a console. It feels right playing them on a PC, and I'm sure that's how a lot of people feel about FPS games and stuff, you know, that it just doesn't feel right playing them on a console.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just, for some reason, those sorts of games, it's just feels right to play them on the computer. And, you know, if they brought out, you know, Civilization 5 or whatever on PC and 360, I would probably buy it for the PC if my computer could run it, just because I feel more comfortable playing that sort of game on the PC with all the, you know, keyboards, shortcuts, and stuff like that. And so that's the stuff I guess I like with the PC gaming. And they don't usually tax the shit out of the computer either, you know? Like, as far as, you know, having to have the latest and greatest machine. Like, probably when Civilization 5 does come out, it probably will run on my computer, which is, like, 5-some years old, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Are they making that?
I'm sure they are.
It'd be cool if they did. You know, actually, since you mentioned Civilization 4, that's one of the few games that I actually uninstalled from my computer and refused to play because I got it from, I think my sister bought it for me for Christmas, and like the day I installed it, I played it like 16 hours straight. I'm like, oh my god, this is addictive.
Yeah.
I gotta get rid of this.
Yeah, I remember with Civilization 2 when I got that way back when, pretty much whenever I would sit down and play that game, I would play it from start to finish, and it would be like a 12-hour, you know, marathon every time.
Oh, I can't feel my legs.
Yeah. Because it's just so addictive. You're like, oh, just, you know, another 50 years of gameplay, you know, and whatever, and you just keep going. But
okay, but, yeah. So, Mike, what things do you enjoy about consoles?
Well, you know, there is something about consoles that I do somewhat miss from the PC. And that's like the games like the Street Fighter games, where you can just sit down and just trash talk with a buddy, you know, and you really can't do that as well on a PC. Because, well, you know, if you're 13... you know, then you can trash talk on a computer and look like an idiot. But yeah, I the console is just way better, you know. Or
like the
GoldenEye
days and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Well, even actually now I would say that, honestly, I tried to play Perfect Dark when that came out, even though that's a really bad example for the Xbox 360.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a horrible game, but I just couldn't take any first-person shooter seriously after, like, having played with a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
Like, I know people have wanted me to play, like, the Call of Duty 2 a lot, and I tried to get into it and be serious, but I was like, for me, it was a total crapshoot. I couldn't aim right or anything. So that was tough for me to get over. But yeah, I would say for like, is there a term for like a Street Fighter type game?
Well, this like fighting game.
Like a fighting game,
I guess.
You
could almost say that it's kind of like the local multiplayer is kind of what you miss, it sounds like.
Well, it's been long time since probably most of us has played them, but sports games used to be a lot of fun too. Like,
I was thinking like NBA Live or something like that. I mean, yeah, you wouldn't have any fun playing that, like, on a PC, I don't think, against somebody you couldn't actually talk to right in the room.
Right. Yeah. Right, because when it's just, like, you against one other person or you against a team, it's more fun to trash talk and stuff. When
that's three-quarters
right
of the game sometimes.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, trash talk is a legitimate strategy if it distracts the other player.
That's true. Yeah, I would agree with those opinions, Mike. That's one thing that is a lot of fun about consoles. I remember like playing NBA Live, and it was fun.
Beating Tim with the Super Full Court 3.
Well, even stuff like Rock Band, it's like, what's all this cooperation crap? I want to smack down people. I know they have like that. You can online fight people in that game or whatever, but
yeah.
You know, don't they have like Street Fighter 4 coming out for the consoles?
Yep.
That might be worth picking up. And the gameplay is in 2D, so...
Yeah.
That might be fun.
I've heard that there's an online multiplayer for that, though, where you can, like... Apparently they have something to deal with the lag, so you can fight people.
Yeah, because I know, like, with like the Virtua Fighter 5 or whatever it was when it came out, like, the PS3 version didn't have online, and then a few months later they brought it out for 360, and they had online for that. And from what I read, it worked really well. There wasn't any lag or anything. And, like, they brought out Street Fighter 2 on the Xbox Arcade and all that, and you can play that online and stuff like that.
There's probably a lot less data flying around in a fighting game than there is in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have to tell the computer how many orange crates are flying through the air or whatever. You know, it's just two people kicking each other.
Yeah, it is a good point about the sports games, though, because that's something that's kind of died off for me. Because that was something when I was back in high school, you know, me and my friends on the weekends, you know, it was either like we played GoldenEye or we'd play like FIFA Soccer or like NHL or something like that. And that was like the whole freaking weekend. You know, we'd get done with work and just burn the whole weekend up playing those. And yeah, once you kind of, you know, grow up or whatever and everybody moves away and stuff like that, you know, it's sports games kind of lose their luster when you're just playing them by yourself.
Yeah. I mean, so. Mike, remember like in the old days when GoldenEye was out and sometimes we play that with friends for like 8 hours on Saturday? I mean, how would you say that compared to like the fun you have playing your games online now? I mean, you could be honest if it's, you know.
Well, no, that was really fun, but I think I have more fun playing online. Well, it probably comes down to, like, I've played with the same people in my team so long,
yeah,
you know, that I know them pretty well, you know. And actually, you know, I've never met anyone on my team, but, like, they go to LAN parties and stuff, and so they've all met, too.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should get in there.
I guess so. But, yeah, I would say, like, well, for example, back when you were in the old clan, like, the night we beat that team of bozos by calling in artillery.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I mean, I don't think I ever had a moment that was that cool, like, you know, insulting my brother and his friend, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think that it's a lot more fun to, like, beat people at games, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, well, we probably need to talk about AMD thing because we're running out of time. So Mike brought this up as a topic. Talking about how AMD has kind of slid recently. Like, they're just now getting 65-nanometer stuff, and Intel's already starting to squirt out 45-nanometer.
Well, that's not entirely accurate. They've had 65-nanometer for a while, but for some reason they didn't put it into anything.
Okay, well, why don't you start, Mike? Just what?
Well, for example,
you thought of this topic, so go.
Yeah, honestly, well, I can't remember when I bought my processor. It's the dual-core 4400. Mine's a 90-nanometer, but the 65 was actually already available in a different socket set back when I bought this one. So it's been around for a while, but yeah, they've dropped the ball on, yeah. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Well, I mean, it used to be, you know, AMD and Intel were always pretty neck and neck, and maybe Intel was a little ahead, but AMD's price was so much lower that it was worth it to, like, go with the AMDs, but now it seems like that's not even worth it anymore.
Well, I think there was a time when AMD was actually ahead, like, during the Pentium 4 times. I think a lot of people went to AMD then.
Yeah, they closed the gap anyway, yeah. That was, like, their high water mark was those days.
And what kind of processors were those?
But that probably would have been in the,
I don't even know what the hell they...
The K2 series, maybe?
K2 series? That was a long time ago.
Well, K2 would have been about, like, around the 500 to 700 megahertz range.
No, I think those were K4s.
Were they really? God, I can't remember.
Well, that's more like a, Pentium 3.
Yeah,
that
would have been
before
the P4s, but...
So what time are we talking about exactly?
I'd say probably, like, 5 years ago. It seems like back, like, 5 to 7 years ago was when AMD was really making strides, I would say. And becoming a bit of a threat to Intel, where now it doesn't really seem like they're any sort of threat to Intel anymore.
Well, I remember, like, when I first started getting into building a computer, like, my 233, that was a Pentium 2. And when I bought that, I mean, AMD was a bad joke, you know. That was like a Cyrix computer, you know. Nobody would even dream about buying one. Yeah, do they even make Cyrix anymore, or did it totally tank?
I don't think so.
Now we're going to get an email, we're still around!
Oh, and we listen to your
podcast. Don't slander us!
But not anymore!
You're like, oh, great, we're down to two people listening.
Hey, you remember one of the greatest underrated Arnold movies, The Eraser?
Yeah.
Remember how that company was called, like, Cyrix in that movie? I guess in post-production, they had to It was actually something else. It was like Cyrix or something. It was very close to, what was it?
Cyrix.
Cyrix. The name of that company in Eraser was like one letter away from Cyrix.
Okay.
So post-production, they had like changed the last letter to an X on all the doors, all the badges, everything.
Oh,
yeah, they had to do a ton of...
We didn't realize you were a real company.
Right. but it wasn't exactly the name of the company, but it was very close, so they had to like make it a little further. So yeah, if you watch that movie closely, sometimes like the edge of a frame, they haven't changed the logo. But yeah, 1996, they had to go in and paint out all those logos.
God, like on every frame.
That's probably one of the big reasons that movie was like over budget, because you remember that originally they kind of complained about the budget. But fun fact. Anyway, that's probably why they couldn't spend any money on the alligator effect budget.
Yes.
There. I mean, I don't hold it against the movie, but the alligators did look a little fake.
They did look pretty bad.
But it was worth it for Arnold to say your luck.
For that line, yep.
I mean, like 10 years before that, Arnold would have fought real alligators.
Yes, with his bare hands.
Yep. When can you start?
And he would have fought their goddamn spine.
With Alyssa Milano. Where were we? Oh, we were talking about, okay, no one would buy a Cyrix or AMD computer.
Yeah, well, Intel is owning AMD is where we're at. Well, you know, in fairness, we should get to probably throw in NVIDIA and ATI as well, since ATI is owned by AMD now.
Now.
Yeah.
And how's that battle going?
Hasn't Intel always been, like, you know, NVIDIA's love child or something like that, or their best buddies? I don't know.
Well, ATI is used in the Wii and the Xbox 360.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yep.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, which one was just out of curiosity, what does the Wii use for an ATI?
I don't know. It's basically like a souped-up GameCube. It's not like it's a card, but it's an ATI. It's made by ATI and ATI architecture.
Just the chip.
Oh. It's kind of, I mean, I think it's very funny that the first Xbox had an Intel Celeron processor and an NVIDIA chipset, you know, and Windows, NVIDIA, Intel, that all kind of embed, or people think that. Then the Xbox 360 went to a PowerPC architecture like a Mac used to have, and an ATI graphics chipset, and then the Macs went to Intel.
Yeah.
I think it's really ironic. And actually, and IBM manufactures the processor for the Wii as well, so it's kind of funny how that all goes. But, that has nothing to do with the topic, really.
No.
A little bit.
Well, I mean, like, in the price of the Core 2 Duos, I mean, they've come down so much, probably because they're starting on the 45s, and why not get one? I mean, you're going to get one when you build your computer.
Yeah, I'm... Well, you know, I'm still torn. There's still a little bit of room for, like, an AMD in there, because the way I look at it, AMT, well, except for the Phenom, their quad platform, which is apparently... not nearly as fast as like the quads that Intel has, but I'm kind of looking at the dual cores right now. Like they have like the dual core 6000 and 6400. You pick it up for like $160, and honestly, it's faster than anything you'd ever need right now. So why not go with that?
Yeah, that's one thing that kind of seems like AMD kind of made Intel step their game up after the Pentium 4 days. Because I remember back in the Pentium
step
4
up
days,
to the streets.
Or the street. But, because I remember in the Pentium 4 days, like, if you got, like, the equivalent processor in AMD form, the AMD was always a bit faster, is what it worked out to be. Like, if you actually, you know, did a bench test between them and all that, where now it's, you know, like you were saying, where the equivalent between the two, the Intel is superior.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's not even, like, very close right now either.
Yeah, it's like the next it's almost like them. You have like a certain like a mid-range Intel is like as good as like a higher range AMD even. I mean, it's yeah, slanted pretty far.
I'd be interested to see if like even like a dual core Intel is probably beating a quad core AMD. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Of course, there's probably people out there benchmarking them right now that have real answers. You know, like
well, I went from a Core 2 Duo to a quad core 6600.
Well, you said you didn't notice much difference, but that's more application based, though, isn't it?
I mean, I certainly noticed a big difference going from like a Athlon 2400 to a Core 2 Duo.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah.
But I mean, no, it's not like you put in the quad core and your computer all of a sudden says, "Good morning. I am a HAL 9000 computer." It's not like night and day. But
I am self-aware.
Vista, what are you doing? Okay, well, we should probably wrap it up since we're at the hour mark. Any closing statements on anything we said today?
Placentas can be fun.
Great. Mike?
I can get behind that, you know, get some, like, placenta help or something.
And to our listeners, how do you cook your placenta? Comment below or email us at benjamin.heckendorn@gmail.com. It would be a nice refreshing change from requests for Xbox 360 laptops. All right, well, that was our show. Hope you enjoyed our mystery special guest, whose name is Mike Adsit, not much of a mystery. You may remember him from Posthumous Man, the guy doing the George C. Scott impression, or from Port Washington, where he kind of acted like George C. Scott. And we'll talk to you next time, and we're actually thinking about doing a video podcast for the next show. So,
oh,
wait.
Knows.
Wait and see. Catch you later.
Adios.
That's it then? Okay, goodbye.
Stop or your mom will shoot.